Come on now, Blondie, what do you want to mess with these bozos for? She turned and looked at him from the end of the dock, then back at us, and you could tell she was thinking his proposition over when the door of the bait shop opened and McMurphy came shoving out past the bunch of them down the steps. Pile in, crew, it's all set. Gassed and ready, and there's bait and beer on board. He slapped Billy on the rear and did a little hornpipe and commenced slinging ropes from their snubs. Old Captain Block's still on the phone, but we'll be pulling off as quick as he comes out. George, let's see if you can get that motor warmed up. Scanlon, you and Harding untie that rope there. Candy, what are you doing off down there? Let's get with it, honey. We're shoving off. We swarmed into the boat, glad for anything that would take us away from those guys standing in a row at the bait shop. Billy took the girl by the hand and helped her on board. George hummed over the dashboard up on the bridge, pointing out buttons for McMurphy to twist or push. Yeah, these pukers, puke boats, we called them, he said to McMurphy. They just as easy like drive an automobile. The doctor hesitated before climbing aboard and looked toward the shop where all the loafers stood milling toward the steps. Don't you think, Randall, we'd better wait until the captain... McMurphy caught him by the lapels and lifted him clear of the dock onto the boat like he was a small boy. Yeah, Doc, he said. Wait till the captain what? He commenced to laugh like he was drunk, talking in an excited, nervous way. Wait till the captain comes out and tells us that the phone number I gave him is a flophouse up in Portland? You bet. Here, George, damn your eyes, take hold of this thing and get us out of here. Seafelt, get that rope loose and get on. George, come on! The motor chugged and died, chugged again like it was clearing its throat, then roared full on. Hoo-wee! There she goes! Pour the coal to her, George, and all hands stand by to repel boarders! A white gorge of smoke and water roared from the back of the boat, and the door of the bait shop crashed open, and the captain's head came booming out and down the steps like it was not only dragging his body behind it, but the bodies of the eight other guys as well. They came thundering down the dock and stopped right at the boil of foam washing over their feet as George swung the big boat out and away from the docks, and we had the sea to ourselves. A sudden turn of the boat had thrown Candy to her knees, and Billy was helping her up and trying to apologize for the way he'd acted on the dock at the same time. McMurphy came down from the bridge and asked if the two of them would like to be alone so they could talk over old times, and Candy looked at Billy, and all he could do was shake his head and stutter. McMurphy said in that case that he and Candy'd better go below and check for leaks, and the rest of us could make do for a while. He stood at the door down to the cabin and saluted and winked and appointed George captain and Harding second in command and said, "Carry on, mates," and followed the girl out of sight into the cabin. The wind lay down and the sun got higher, chrome plating the east side of the deep green swells. George aimed the boat straight out to sea, full throttle, putting the docks and that bait shop farther and farther behind us.